Hey guys, we're so glad you're joining us for this podcast. Our hope is that this message inspires you, challenges you, and increases your faith. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about Tree of Life Church, you can follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church. Now, here's the message.
It's so good to be here. I'm super thankful to be able to come. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Melissa, and I have been a part of Tree of Life since the beginning, honestly, since we first started. I've known Pastor Gabe for pretty much all of my life. Sister Naomi, she's a pastor too. Sister Naomi, who is Pastor Gabe's mom, I mean, we have been in each other's lives since before I was born, right? My parents and her parents, my parents served with her parents in their ministry. And so this is a very long line of friendship, of communion, of brotherhood, sisterhood. And so it's just great to be back here. So today, I've been following with Pastor Gabe's series since the beginning of the year, this series of followers of Christ. And have y'all noticed that Pastor Gabe's been a little spicy these last couple of weeks, right? Is it just me, or have you noticed it too? Yeah, I thought it was so funny how Pastor Gabe last Sunday, he said, "I'm going to try to contain myself." You know, and then he proceeded to bulldoze through the whole message. He's just like, he was a savage. "Hey, girl, what's up? It's good to see you. Hi, how are you?" We love them. They're part of Tree of Life, too. Okay, so, man, he's savage, right? He was like, just given that truth. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, man, he's crazy, y'all. He has not changed one bit. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "Hey, preach the gospel. Exhort the people in truth, because there's going to come a day when people will only want to hear what tickles their ear. They'll only want to hear messages that gratify their flesh." And we're in those times, y'all. Like, people will accumulate for themselves preachers, teachers, spiritual leaders who will only tell them what gratifies them. And they will turn away from truth. So I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that we have a spiritual father like Pastor Gabe, who's just not going to compromise God's holy truth. Aren't you grateful for that? Yeah, let's give an offering of honor to our spiritual father, Pastor Gabe. And in the same spirit, we're going to continue to unfold those teachings today of followers of Christ. And by the time you leave here, my hope for you is that you would leave with tangible and practical tools that you can actually practice this week. By the time you leave today, I want you to leave here with something you can practice this week about this message, right? About following Christ. That's what we're going to do today. And so together, I just want to say right off the bat, okay? I want to say this. It's one thing to hear the words, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." It's one thing to hear that, to like understand it with your mind, right? But it's quite another thing to embody these practices every day. So we're going to talk about embodying these truths today. And I'm going to start off with this thought, okay? Everyone in the Old Testament who encountered Jesus in a significant way, whose life was transformed because they encountered him, they did so because they stopped everything else. They stopped the everyday humdrum activity of life in order to look for, look at, and seek Jesus. Okay? Think of the crowds. Those thousands of people that went out into the wilderness to look for God. The Bible says they were there for 2 days without food, y'all. That those people said they stopped everything. They didn't show up for work for 2 days. They weren't at home. They left their homes. They left their everyday activities. And they went out to a literal desert to search for the man of Galilee. And because they did, the Bible says that many of them, their diseases were healed. Their oppressions, their demonic oppressions were delivered. And they encountered God radically and forever changed their life. Think of Jairus. Do y'all remember Jairus in the Bible? This is the synagogue leader, right? Whose daughter is very sick to the point of death. What does Jairus do? Jairus stops everything, y'all. He doesn't go to the synagogue. He doesn't go to work. He leaves his daughter and his wife at home, and he goes out seeking this man of Galilee who he had heard of. And because he did that, God not only changed Jairus' life, but the life of his daughter was resurrected, and his wife, everything about their family changed, y'all. Think of Mary. Y'all remember Mary in the Bible, right? There are many Marys, but the one I'm talking about is the one who, surprisingly, Jesus was coming to her house that day, right? And instead of doing the normal thing, the everyday normal thing of like cleaning the house, of cooking the food, make sure everything's perfect for Jesus, right? Like serve the people there, his disciples. Instead of doing everything she probably was used to doing, she stopped all of that. And she sat at the feet of Jesus, and she connected with him. And the Bible says that when her sister tried to reprimand her, Jesus said, no, 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 like she has chosen the better thing, and it will not be taken from her. Think of Zacchaeus. Y'all remember the short little man Zacchaeus? Y'all remember that? Okay, Zacchaeus, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a master, a chief tax collector. So for a job, he actually taxed people for a living. And then he stole off of those people and got rich off of it. So that's what he did, right? That was his norm. But one day, when he heard about Jesus being around, he stopped working. He stopped stealing long enough. He left his house. He left everything. And guess what he did that day? He climbed a tree. I'm pretty sure Zacchaeus did not go around climbing trees every day. But that day was different. He heard that Jesus was in town. So he stopped it all. And he got up on that tree. And he looked for the Lord. And the Bible says that when he looked at the Lord looked at him and called him out. And his life was forever transformed because he stopped. There's something about stopping that can forever change our life. When I was 19 years old, I was in a relationship with a man who was a lot older than me. I'm not very proud of this, but I'm saying it to glorify the name of Jesus, okay? He was pushing 40, y'all. I was 19. He was pushing 40. I don't know what I was doing. Don't ever do what I did. And don't let your kids do what I did, okay? But I was looking back now, hindsight, I'm like, girl, that was meant for failure, right? But back then, I was convinced. I was convinced that he was the one. We spent so much time together. We worked together, so we spent so much time together. We were kind of like inseparable at that time. And we talked about our future. We talked about our kids' names. I mean, I was like all up in that relationship, right? And I started to notice some things while I was in the relationship. The first thing that I noticed is that I stopped attending service, like worship service. And my excuse is that, well, I'm in college now, and so driving back and forth from college to home, it's just not practical. So that was my first excuse. My second excuse is that I worked. And so sometimes I was scheduled to work on Sundays, and so I just wouldn't show up for service. But the reality was that I was so enthralled by this relationship. The attachment to this man really consumed my life. And then one day, I get a call from a woman who proceeds to tell me that the man I think loves me with all my heart is indeed engaged to be married to someone else, right? Like this, I was about to say this fool, right? But like this guy, sorry, I'm from Northside, if you couldn't tell. Okay, and this guy had a whole other life that I knew nothing about. And in my little 19-year-old self was just, I was broken. And I something really interesting started happening at that time because I chose to sever that relationship, because this guy was still trying to come in my life over and over. Because I chose to sever it, now I had all this time. And what did I do with that time? I still remember being in my apartment in college, in my dorm room, just sitting there in the presence of God, tears flowing down my face. I was broken. I was in grief. I was sorrowful. There was a lot of pain and a lot of anger that I felt. I also felt really lonely, you know, when you're no longer in there. There's a lot of loneliness there. I felt empty. But with the scriptures opened up before me, I actually remember memorizing Psalm 27. I didn't know what else to do. I was like, well, I was in God's presence. I was crying. I was hurting. And there's the word. And so I'm going to memorize it. So while everyone was partying, I had friends that were out partying, doing all the stuff that I used to do with them. There I was in my dorm room, sitting alone with the word of God. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came to tear my flesh, they stumbled and they failed. The war encamp against me. In this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For on the day of trouble, the Lord shall hide me in his pavilion. He will set my head upon a rock away from my enemies. Therefore, I will sing sacrifices of joy to the Lord. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear me when I cry out, O Lord. Hear me when I cry out to you. The Lord has said, seek my face. Your face, O Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger, for you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord shall hold me fast. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways and lead me down a straight path because of my enemies. For there have risen up adversaries against me as breathe violence, right? Those adversaries, they breathe violence. I would have fainted lest I believe I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord, Melissa. Be of good courage, and God shall strengthen your heart. Wait upon the Lord. I'm pretty sure we can all agree that those times where we connected to God in the most significant way, where God spoke so clearly, where God just, we were so close. He spoke clearly to my life. If you remember that time in your life with God, those are times when you stopped. The problem is that we don't know how to stop anymore. I'm concerned. I'm actually convinced that we don't know how to stop anymore. We are so plugged in to activity. Activity fuels our life. Think about it. We go to work. We take care of our families, we go to school, we pay our bills, we take our kids to their activities, right? We go to church, we go to small group, we exercise, we hang out with friends, we go on vacation, we see the world, we party it up, we come back, and then we do it all over again. Our lives are fueled by activity. And a lot of us, we have no clue what our body really experiences day to day. We have no clue what our thoughts are thinking subconsciously. We have no clue what our feelings, what our soul is carrying sometimes, or what our spirit is sensing. Because we're so plugged into activity. This activity has become the most popular form of avoidance. We avoid. When people come to see me professionally, they come into my office because they know something is wrong. They can tell something is off. And what I do with them is when they come in, I sit them down in front of me and I say, hey, we're gonna be silent. We're going to sit here and we're going to be silent. And I want you to notice what's coming up for you as we sit here. Man, people don't like that. They're like, we're going to be what? Right? Like they start moving around in their chair, in the couch. They're like checking their phone. You know we instinctively go for our phones when we're uncomfortable? Do you know that? We do that. Save me, phone. Save me from this weirdness, right? Like we do that. We move. Like, they're like, I was going to come here and we were going to talk about my problems, or you're going to help me to figure it out. And yeah, we're going to talk, but just hold on a little bit. We don't know how to be in stillness. In stopping, we have no idea how to find. And then when I ask people, because this is a very common question I ask, hey, in your day-to-day life, when you notice that emotion coming to the surface, that distressing one, or you notice that thought, you're thinking that worrying thought, or you feel like something's off, how do you navigate that? How do you take care of yourself? How do you navigate? And they're like, oh, I don't have it. No. I just get busy. I don't do that. No. I just stay busy. I stay busy and I don't think about it. And then right before I go to bed, all that stuff starts coming up. But I take a Xanax and I just like, right. Like, I take the melatonin and I blah, right? I take that Benadryl and I just blah, right? Like, not everybody says that, but it's true. Like, we right before we go to bed, we think about that thing, right? Like, we have no, I mean, we're so plugged into activity that it has become the most effective way of coping. It's avoidance. It's avoidance. And this is not a new issue, right? This has happened over and over again. And so today, what we're going to do, I'm going to bring the Word of God. I know I'm talking a little bit about psychology, just a little bit. But what I'm bringing to you today is not psychology, even though I could, because I'm well-versed in it. But I'm bringing the Word. Because the Word is truth. So let's look at the Word together. In Colossians, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. It's chapter 3 and it's verse 1. And I want you to listen to the language that he uses, okay? Verse 1 says this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God. Ephesians 2:6, Paul says that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Notice the posture of sitting. What does sitting represent? Sitting represents authority. It represents kingship or rulership. Only kings sit, y'all, right? And Christ invites us to sit with him. What else does sitting represent? It represents rest. In essence, it's a posture of inactivity. When you sit, you rest, right? You stop. God instituted stopping since the beginning. Think about the seventh day of creation. God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he what? Yeah, he rested. How do you rest? You stop. Yeah, you stop and you rest. And that wasn't the only time he modeled that. In the Mosaic law, he instituted an observance of the Sabbath for his people. It was a commandment. You shall work for 6 days, but on the seventh, you what? Yeah. You stop, baby. And you rest and you commune with God. So Christ invites us to sit. If you're writing in your notes, say, you need to write this down. Followers of Christ sit. Followers of Christ, they sit. And look at what it says in verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are beneath. So I want to say something about this, because I think this is so important. I'm going to come back to this verse, but I want to say this. Okay, I think you'll find that God is very much interested and he cares about our everyday experiences and emotions, okay? When Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, that phrase, deny yourself or kill your flesh, does not mean that God doesn't care about your emotional world, about your thoughts, or about your feelings. God gave us a mind, y'all. He gave us emotions. He put desires and affections and a will inside of us. So when he says kill the flesh, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about that stuff. No. God, we use our inner world in order to relate to God more intimately. Like he put that there. What killing the flesh means, what denying yourself really means, it's you're to submit your thoughts daily. You're to submit your emotions daily. You're to submit those affections and those desires that you have daily to God. That's what that means. So here in verse 2 of Colossians, where Paul says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. He's not saying, hey, he's saying, use your mind. He's not saying like, hey, don't use your, like our minds, when they're glorified and God has purified us, they're powerful. Use it. Don't deny that you have, don't deny that part of yourself. Use it to set it on things above, not on things of the earth. Look at verse 3, and we're going to keep on reading from there. For you have died, he says that, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You're seated with Christ, and you're hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, and he is our life, ladies and gentlemen. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Listen to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What's earthly? Sexual immorality. Impurity. Passions. We're going to talk about that word, passions. Evil desires and covetousness. Wanting what other people have. Put it to death because it's idolatry. Verse 6 says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, talking about other people, gossiping about other people, judging other, put that stuff away, or any obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Gosh, this is so good. Don't lie. I know, that's like a personal pet peeve, something God is working within me. Don't lie to one another. Seeing that you have put off, listen to that language, put off the old self with its practices and have put on. That's so good. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Look at verse 12. I know I'm giving you a lot of word, but I told you I was going to bring it. And so this is more important than anything I can tell you. Any good story, any good example I can give you, this is more important. Listen to verse 12. Put on then. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another if you have a complaint against them, and forgive each other. Just as the Lord forgave you, you must also forgive. Look, when Paul says put on compassionate hearts, put on kindness and humility, I get those are all fruit of the Spirit, right? That's what that sounds like, the fruit of the Spirit. So it starts in the Spirit, but these things that he's talking about, they get filtered through the mechanism of our soul, okay? What is kindness? Kindness are thoughts I have about someone where I withhold judgment from them, and then there's empathy in my heart towards them. Those are emotions, right? So all this stuff is spiritual, but it gets filtered through our emotional world, through our soul, right? Their dispositions of the heart that get filtered through the soul. The reason I am making such a big deal about this, as you can tell, I'm harping on it, okay, is because I don't like when someone says, well, just deny your flesh. Just kill it. We're not supposed to be robots. I don't want to be one. That's not fun. We are living, breathing, feeling, sensing human beings. And guess who else is like that? God. He feels, he senses, he thinks. He has affections and desires just like me and you. We're just like him. And so it's so important to not deny it, but to submit it to the Lord. Right? And he says this, that word where he says put off passions, that word passion in the Greek, it's called inordinate affections. Inordinate affections. There was a saint, a saint of the church about 500 years ago. His name is Saint Ignatius. And I've been reading on him, and he calls these inordinate affections every passion that does not flow from or to the love of God. That's what an inordinate affection is. Okay, he used to call these disordered attachments. Psychologists think we came up with the word attachment. We didn't. St. Ignatius used it 500 years ago in the church, okay? A disordered attachment describes the deep-seated desire for other things that pull us away from God. When our desire for God is overpowered by our desire for other things, our affections are out of order. When we stop, y'all, when we stop, it's an opportunity to allow God into our everyday life and to say, God, search my heart. Like, know me. Is there any anxious way in me? Is there any offensive way in me? And lead me, King David would say. Lead me in the way everlasting. When we stop, we get to ask God, God, are there any affections in my heart that overpower my affection for you? Like, am I too attached to my family? What? You can't be too attached. Yeah, you can. If it takes over your affection for the Lord, it's an idol. And it's a disordered attachment in your life and in mine. I'm right there with you. When we stop, we can say, is there anything in me that you see that takes me away from you? Show me and forgive me. Forgive me and help me. Help me to love you more than I love this world. This sounds crazy, but a lot of the things I say sound crazy. I have a holy urgency about the time. Like God has shown me some very specific things that are to come in the spirit. And I have an urgency about the time we're living in. And it's with me every day. Every single day. And Paul used to talk like this. In Romans chapter 13, he uses that same kind of language. He says, hey, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your slumber. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believe. He's talking about the second coming of Christ, y'all. He's saying that the second coming is nearer to us than when we first believed in Jesus. So wake up. Wake up from the slumber. And he keeps on going. And he says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in sensualities or quarreling and jealousy. But listen to this last scripture, y'all. Look at how he says this. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Did you know that when you stop and you put away your phone and you put away, you unplug from the activity, that's a form of you making no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires? I went to a silent retreat recently. It's basically a place where you go. It's a spiritual retreat where you go and you stay for an extended amount of time. And I can have the worship band come up because I'm about to end here. You stay for an extended amount of time, and you literally do this. You stop everything. Okay? So like there are no phones there. There are no TVs there. You're not even allowed to have your own cell phone. there are no preachers there speaking. There are no podcasts. There are no videos. There's not even music. And you're like, what? That's not spiritual. There's no music there. The point, and you're silent, so you don't talk. You don't talk. I went with my aunt. It was so funny, Pastor Naomi. It was so funny because we couldn't talk to each other, so we'd be like, you know, when we passed each other in the hallway, like, we didn't, it's so weird. How do you not talk to you? Hey, it's surprisingly refreshing to just be, my tia, Christy, I went with my tia Christy, you know her, my cousin's over there. We went together, like, it's surprisingly refreshing. And the point of being there is you go and you spend time with God. Just you and the Lord, no one else. And I can't tell you how valuable that time was for me. Like how close I felt the Lord, his nearness, and how clear his message was to me. Like his words would flow. And we just delighted in our relationship. Look, guys, when we stop, that, like, maybe you can't go to an extended stay like that. Hey, Melissa, that's not practical. I got kids too. I have a one-year-old. He needs me every day of the week. Like, I, you know, maybe you can't go to something like that, but you can stop every day for a little bit of time. You can stop when they sleep. you can stop when you get out of work. You can do something. And I'm not going to try to sit here and tell you, well, you need to stop for this long, and it needs to look exactly like this, and this is exactly how you connect with. I don't like all the formulas. I think they're too boxy. The reality is that you can spend time with God in 100 different ways for every individual person. But the point is to stop. And it's in those moments when God will, he'll remind me, like, something funny that my son did that day. And I'm like, man, God, he's crazy. You gave me a crazy one. And I'll laugh, and then God will be like, girl, you're just like him. you're like change emotions every 5 seconds. And you're like, run to your daddy, God, you know, and then run away, and then run back to me when you need something. You're just like your kid, girl. And we both laugh, and I cry because he's right. It's in those times where, when I'm still before the Lord, and God will tell me, hey, that back pain that you've been ignoring, I need you to take care of yourself. I care about your pain. I care about your body. And I want you to take care of my body. He says it like that, because you're mine. And you're in me and I'm in you. Take care of my body. It's in those moments where God will say, hey, the way that you talked to her, like how you thought about her, to man, Melissa, that's not me. That's not who I am. You want to know what I think? And he'll tell me, like, this is how much I think about her every day. These are the thoughts I have for her, the feelings I have for her. And then he'll go deeper than that, and he'll say, that wasn't about her, that was about you. It's in those moments where we stop, where, well, he'll say things like, mija, you're still insecure. You don't trust me enough yet. You're not there yet. And it's in those moments where I'll say, I'm sorry, like, you're right. And I'll cry, and I'll say, forgive me. I repent. Help me, Lord. Help me to be like you. I put on Christ because I make no provisions. When I ask people, hey, how about you put your phone away for the weekend? They look at me like I have 3 heads. Like I literally just asked them to go commit a crime. Like, it's a crime to unplug. Well, I'm going to be needed, Melissa. Like, my kids need me, and my husband needs me, and I'm a professional. I have a full-time employee. I have a business too. We're all needed. I was about to say something kind of rude, but I'm not going to do that. I'll let Pastor Gabe do that. God is just asking for time. So I want you to stand to your feet, and together we're going to stop. Right now, me and you, we're going to stop.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the message. Remember to follow us on social media at Tree of Life Church or visit us at treeoflife.church. See you next time.